Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
And welcome, everyone, to a new episode of Eat, Sleep, Retweet. I am the big dog, the lawmaker. I am Armit Lucas, and I'm back with another episode of our Mount Rushmore season. And this time, we're going to go a little bit to the east. Yes, we're going to New Japan, and we're going to have that big debate about who is the Mount Rushmore of New Japan. Now, before we go into the show, just a little bit of housekeeping. You can find us all here at Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also find us at eatsleepsuplexretweet.com. And we've also on all the podcasting sites, such as Apple, Spotify, Podbean, you name it. You can find us all there. As I said, it's a Mount Rushmore, and I've got myself a Mount Rushmore here of, well, let's just say it's the best I can make this show on the list. First off, we have a new meaning for ESSR when it comes to this man. It's about this man's draft point system. He's now known as the evil, sneaky, snidey reprobate. It is Stephen Wilson.
Now been known that. I think that was my name and that chat nickname for about a year and a half. It's not my fault that even though I do the points, my team still do well. Hey-ho.
It's like your football team corrupt.
At the time of recording, you're top of the league, so don't complain, man. Don't complain.
Oh, I'll always complain. Now we're moving on. This panellist is just upgraded by 18 inches. Get your mind in the gutter. Don Bertelli. It's Sarah Greaves.
I mean, going back to your earlier comment about these are like the best that you could actually muster up, if you want, I could leave and see how you like it. You need me more than I need you, Alan. But yes, I upgraded to a 50-inch telly, and it's the best decision I ever made until I realised I had to replace my fridge. So send me money, please.
GoFundMe page will be up after the show is released. That's fine. Finally said point with Brawler Shadow. It's just the same, he's still his bitch. It's Scott McLeod.
New year, same old sight patter from you, Alan. It's good to see. I mean, you said it's the best you could get. I mean, where's the so-called expert in New Japan, David Campbell? Is he here to give us his Mount Rushmore? Is he fuck?
No, he's not.
He shot himself. Too scared, couldn't handle it. So he sent me. And lastly, if you've ever wondered what CM Punk looked like hooked in crystal meth, look no further. Grant Grobby.
So I'm complete opposite of straight edge then.
How are you doing, mate? You alright?
Brilliant. I'm happy to be here and, you know, represent, like, you know, the true expert of New Japan in the podcast. Sarah's also there with me. I guess. Yay. Scott as well.
Don't fuck yourself, sir.
I'll take what I can get.
Cannot wait. Now, as we move on, we're going to start discussing who we believe should be in the Mount Rushmore. And we're going to start off in order of how they gave it. So the first person I'm going to come to is Scott. Scott, name who you feel should be in the Mount Rushmore and tell us why.
All right, people, I've got my dinner to get after, so the sooner you agree with my picks, the quicker we can get this over with. All right, starting off here, we've got Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, we've done shows on this very podcasting platform in a back catalogue. You can go check out our future show about Shinsuke Nakamura, but we have talked about how poorly he's seemingly been handled in WWE. Complete opposite in New Japan Pro Wrestling. A three-time IWGP Heavyweight Champion, the youngest IWGP Heavyweight Champion in history, winning it at only 23 years of age. But his real, you know, real thing he's remembered for in New Japan Pro Wrestling is not only being the King of Toronto, but the man who elevated the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, the standard bearer, I believe, for elevating a singles championship and elevating it to the similar, if not above, the main championship, and even managing to headline the biggest show of the year, Wrestle Kingdom, defending the IWGP Intercontinental Championship against Hiroshi Tanahashi. I've also picked Tetsuya Naito. 40% of this is out of pettiness, just so Grant couldn't have him. But other than that, he's one of the most popular characters, whether he's a face, a heel, or kind of this anti-hero role that he's kind of been going in recent years. He's headlined Wrestle Kingdom multiple times. I've always lost count here. He had one of the best long-term stories from him trying to become the IWGP World Champion. He won the G1 Climax in 2013, failed to win at Wrestle Kingdom, went on this heel role, formed one of the most popular and best-selling merch, you know, factions in history after Bullet Club and Los Ingles Bernales de Japón. Also, winners of one of the best factions of the decade, thanks to me on that show. And eventually, 2020, walks out of Wrestle Kingdom after three attempts in the main event to become both the IWGP Intercontinental and World Heavyweight Champion, would hold both belts. We don't talk about the guy he lost them to, but he won them back. And then he went on to the Wrestle Kingdom 15 main event in night one against Kota Ibushi in a hell of a match. But basically, it's a case of he's a guy who's just always seemingly popular. He's had a hell of a journey over the last, you know, 10 years in New Japan as both heavyweight champion and as the Intercontinental champion. Moving over to the junior heavyweight division, we've got somebody who's also in WWE and maybe not being used to his full potential, and that's Kushida, the ace of the junior division. He's a bit more sports and entertainment like than New Japan was used to with his old Back to the Future gimmick. Even 1 year at Wrestle Kingdom, coming out with a foot driving a DeLorean onto the ramp of the Wrestle Kingdom stage. But he's a multiple time tag team champion and junior heavyweight champion, multiple time best of Super Juniors winner. He's a guy who did just about everything you could do in the junior division. He was pretty much, you know, the best modern wrestler for his time in New Japan. It's a shame we didn't get to see him go up to the heavyweight division. And of course, I got to throw in a legend in there, and so I've chosen Satoshi Kojima, leader of Bread Club, and one of the handful of like legendary wrestlers, you know, like Nagata, like alongside like Nagata or Suzuki, who I think can still add a lot to New Japan. And he's, you know, he and Tenzan held the record for a long time as the most reigns as IWGP Tag Team Champions with 6. But then he's also got a unique accomplishment as he's only one of two people to hold both the IWGP Championship and the All Japan Triple Crown titles at the same time. So just for the longevity, it's good the fact he's still going today and everything else he's accomplished over his career, both in the US and in Japan. I've chosen Satoshi Kojima as the final person on my Mount Rushmore.
Very interesting lineup. I'm going to come to Stephen first. Stephen, what's your thoughts on Scott's lineup?
Not surprised he put Kushida in there. I think he would pick Kushida to, you know, do anything, you know. He's very big on Kushida, so not surprised about that one. Naito, even though it's out of pettiness, I think it's probably best pick, arguably. People may say Nakamura, but yeah, it's a solid lineup. Yeah, it's not surprising to see him go, you know, quite heavy on that. But yeah, I think Naito's a great pick.
Grant, I'll come to you next. What's your thought instead on you get screwed out of Naito?
He screwed me out of Naito, but you know, I can't argue Naito is a fantastic choice. I actually would argue Nakamura is probably actually a better choice, even though Nakamura isn't with the company anymore. What Nakamura done for the likes of the IC belt in New Japan, and also sticking through it at a very difficult time like the Inokiism period, and also we haven't, like, the fact that like he encountered Lesnar back in the day when Lesnar went to New Japan. It's, well, it never really quite came to fruition, but still, Nakamura to me is a very good choice. And Kushida, well, he's probably the second best junior pick in all of history for New Japan, really. I've got the best one.
Bold, even bold saying. Sarah, what's your thoughts on Scottish picks?
I mean, very, very good picks. Obviously, like, you're going to obviously have to like screw some folk out every now and again, and let's just face it, screwing Grant out of Naito, knowing, you know, very well that Grant is a very, very big LIJ fan, and we all know what he's done for the company. Rikishida as well, again, it's a really, really, it's a really solid pick. I say they're all very solid picks, but I would probably say like the more likely one out of that one probably would be Naito.
Well, interesting. I personally, when you first put them up, albeit not being the biggest New Japan fan, would have said Nakamura being the strongest pick, but hey ho, that's my opinion. Move on. So thanks very much, Scott, for that. Appreciate it. We're going to move on to Grant now. So Grant, you can get your cock out and start measuring against Scott to see who's got the bigger cock.
So for my picks, first of all, I'm going to open with probably the most obvious and easy pick of them all, Stephen Wilson's personal favourite wrestler of all time, Kazuchika Okada. Now, Okada, I mean, where do you start with the accolades? 5-time IWGP Heavyweight Championship holder, 3-time G1 Climax winner, 2-time New Japan Cup winner. He won the Best Bout Award from Tokyo Sports in 2012, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. MVP Award 2012, 2013, 2015 and 2019, and Tokyo Sports is taken very seriously in Japan. That, the right there, is a man who is still young in his career and has got accolades that would put most to shame, including the longest IWGP championship reign of all time so far. So that's my first pick, and that's me not even bringing up the Kenny Omega series. Let's see anyone try and argue that one. Secondly, well, my next three are kind of moral legends. Next one is the best junior heavyweight of all time, Jushin Thunder Liger. Where do you even start with Liger's career? He wrestled in New Japan from pretty much 1984 right up until his retirement a couple of years back. Transcended boundaries, wrestled in a WWE ring, even when New Japan and WWE weren't in bed with each other. Tyler Breeze, you're welcome for the match. He's wrestled all over the place, Mexico. His accolades are really, they're top level. Like, if you think of cruiserweights, Jushin Thunder Liger's got to be in your top four of all time. There is no other way around that. And I'll fight dirty on that one. And really, there's that many belts that he's held and accolades, you could be there forever. My next two, some people may see as a little bit more risky. The first one is Antonio Inoki. Why would I go for him? Well, he was a founder of New Japan Pro Wrestling back in 1972. He remained the owner of New Japan until 2005, and while yes, he did have a very iffy period near the end of that, but before he left the company, his actual career in the ring is legendary. He's been through numerous big name matches, he's been up against all sorts of people. You look at all the people that he's trained over the years as well, and where they've kind of went. He had a hand in training Nakamura, one of Scott's picks. He had a training Rocky Romero. There was Yoshiaki Fujiwara, famous for the armbar. One of the ones that always makes me laugh is a wrestler that it's just Bryan Adams, not to be mixed up with the singer. So he's held quite a few accolades in New Japan, but unlike what some people might accuse other companies, even though he owned the company, I would never say that he's overbooked himself. He only held the top belt 3 times in what is pretty much a 30-odd year career in the company. And my last pick, the great Muta, Kaiji Muto. Absolute legend who started in 1984 for New Japan and was there right through until 2002. He has also had multiple appearances all over the place. He's one of those people that, even if you've not heard of New Japan, chances are you've probably heard of the great Muta. You'll have seen some clips of the great Muta. He is also a multiple, he's a G1 Tag League winner multiple times, 97, 98, 99. He's also had a Best Bout Award. It's a Tag Team Best Bout Awards. He's won the G1 Climax in 1995. He's held the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. He's been a 6-time Tag Team Championship winner and a 4-time Heavyweight Championship winner. The man has got a storied history, and these four are my kind. That's my four choices, since Scott, you're a dick, you took Naito for me.
No regrets.
Well, heavy hitting there, Grant. I like it. I mean, out of all the ones we've both picked, yours are the ones that are most aware of. You know, I think everyone knows Okada and he's at least a bit of his history in New Japan. Liger, WCW, he's in WWE Hall of Fame. Inoki is obviously world renowned. Great Muta, he's been in TNA, you know, as well. He's well respected all over the world. Really, really strong list. Sarah, I'm going to come to you. What's your thoughts on Grant's list?
Good picks. I like them. I don't know who Inoki is off the top of my head. Anything that's before 2014, 2015, I have to, you know, look and research. So I'm like, I don't know who that is. But I'm gonna assume that they are important. Because that's what happens. You know, Okada being an extremely strong pick, considering that he's barely even touching the surface of what he can do for the company. It's very heavily speculated that once Tanahashi hangs up his boots, that Okada's going to be the next ace of New Japan, especially considering like the accolades. And you don't ever see Okada going anywhere else. Like, he is going to stay in New Japan probably until the day he dies. But when you have like Liger as well, like he had like such an influence over so many things, including the junior division, and you know, Muta had such a big influence in like training and overseeing things as well. So they're all very, very strong picks. I would probably only really pick Okada or Liger for putting them on the Mount Rushmore.
Fair enough. Stephen, I'm going to come to you. What's your thoughts on Grant's picks?
Well, as Grant alluded to, many listeners of this show will know my feelings about Okada.
Really?
Oh, God, I know. He's so overrated. It's unreal. but otherwise, on that, Jushin Thunder Liger's a great pick. He retired and we entered a pandemic. That's how much of an influence this man is on the world of professional wrestling. Great Muta's a great like outside pick. I don't know how great of a wrestler he is, but he's somebody a lot of people would have forgotten maybe about, and his influence on so many wrestlers, you know, the Green Mist type thing, that all came from Muta as well. I think it's so. I think a lot of people listening to this show would probably say that Grant could clean sweep a Mount Rushmore with those names. I would argue you could maybe get three of the slots, but hey ho. It's solid all around.
Thanks very much, Stephen. And we'll go to the Montreal Screwjob as Scott. Michael, your thoughts?
Well, of course, Okada, it'd be stupid not to really argue for him unless it's on these accolades alone. I mean, his career from 2012 onwards gives new meaning to the phrase, you know, strapping the rocket to somebody. Like, he's been booked as like Hulk Hogan, John Cena, all wrapped into one, and he's been in some of the most talked about matches of New Japan's, you know, kind of resurgence in the modern era. And I see with the Inoki pick, it seemingly he's going for the Kwaku Aji strategy here, when Kwaku famously argued for him when he put forward Vince McMahon to go into the men's Mount Rushmore that we did ages ago. But, you know, unlike Vince, when, even though Vince has got his fair share of controversy, I think, you know, there's just too much, you know, regarding the politics of Inoki, and like Grant talked about the bad times that New Japan went through. Part of that was Inoki's doing, because he's obsessed with booking guys with a legit MMA background rather than booking guys that the fans might have actually wanted to see. But like Liger, obviously somebody who, you know, like you said, appeared in WCW. Real fans of a certain age who remember WCW, like growing up watching WCW, would recognize him. He's in the Hall of Fame. You know, I pretty much spent a good 5 minutes reading out a lot of his accolades on the Best of Super Junior feature show we did, because he's that like accomplished. He created the Super J Cup tournament that they're doing now as well. So I think Okada and Liger, I agree, are the two strongest picks. They're almost, well, like, you know, we should almost already argue that should go in. But Great Muta, as much as I appreciate his legacy, you know, he played a part in WCW as well, part of NWO Japan. I do think there's a portion of the fan base who might only know him as the guy with the face paint who started the whole like spraying mist, and might not know too much about his career to warrant him going in.
Fair enough, great points there. So we're going to move on now to It's my podcast. Stephen Bolton for Horse Pricks.
Right, so to start off, I'm going to go with the man now known as Finn Balor, or better known during his New Japan run as Fergal Devitt, Prince Devitt. I mean, if you talk about great junior heavyweights, you know, this man had a fantastic run in New Japan. He had a three-time junior heavyweight champion, six-time IWGP junior tag team champion, won the best of the Super Juniors two times, a founding member of the Bullet Club. I think is a very important thing to add, because Bullet Club's influence on bringing New Japan to a wider audience is, you know, monumental. And for Balor to be leading that kind of stable, not as a heavyweight, as not like a dominant, but just as a junior heavyweight, I think is a fantastic achievement. Everybody knows just how good a wrestler he is. One of the first guys from the UK and Irish Isles to go over to there and absolutely put on a clinic. So yeah, I'll go with Devitt first of all. If we talk about guys in Bullet Club, we can't not mention the cleaner, Kenny Omega, arguably the greatest big match wrestler in New Japan history. Yes, I will say that. He made Okada look absolutely like a world beater. Yeah, fantastic wrestler in all seriousness. The way he moved up the rankings when he was in New Japan, starting off as a junior heavyweight, into the Intercontinental title scene, and then going into the World Championship picture. The first Gaijin to win the G1 Climax, you know, a phenomenal achievement. Grant mentioned the series of matches he had with Okada, breaking the Meltzer scale, you know, other matches he's had, his match with Chris Jericho that pretty much brought New Japan to an even bigger audience than what they had before. Even his final match with the company against Tanahashi is often seen as one of the best matches that year in 2019. So just pretty much for the influence of the Elite and pretty much him as a wrestler had, you can't not mention him for a contender in the Mount Rushmore. Slightly different type of wrestler I would go with third. I'm going to go with Minoru Suzuki. You know, a wrestler is popular when he appears in another company, they cut off his theme music and everybody goes mental. It becomes a viral sensation. But aside from, you know, the fantastic entrance music, just he's such a technically sound brawler. He's just the fact that he's never won the big title in New Japan, but yet to many fans, he's considered, he doesn't need it, he's considered a top star regardless, just shows how influential a wrestler he has been. You know, he's everywhere he goes, you know, he can show up in GCW, he shows up in Bloodsport. Just the amount of things that he's done throughout his career and just the influence he's had, I think is absolutely amazing. You know, the guy's 53 and he can beat you up, and it's just so many great contenders. He's a Wrestle Observer Hall of Fame 2017, you know, he's had Match of the Years with Tanahashi, AJ Styles, the likes of them, plenty in there. Like I said, even though he has never won, you know, the big title, he's also a winner of the G1 Tag League in 2011 with Lance Archer. And I'm going to round it off with somebody who's a long-term rival of Suzuki, you know, many, many years ago. We're talking Yuji Nagata. I can never pronounce his name right. But just the longevity this man has had. He's been a fixture of New Japan since 1992. To put that in perspective, 30 years ago, now that's still mental to think about. 1992 was 30 years ago. Just how much he's been there. You know, he's the fifth longest IWGP heavyweight champ of all time, at just shy of 400 days. He defended that title 10 times during that period of time, something that took years to be broken by Hiroshi Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom 11. The fact that he can still put on top quality matches, I mean, even in the last 20 years, his matches with Keiji Muto in the G1 in 2001, Kurt Angle at Wrestle Kingdom 2 in 2008, even last year at the age of 53, taking on Shingo Takagi. My pronunciation is terrible tonight. In the G1 last year, the only man to win the three big tournaments in Japan for the different promotions, the G1, All Japan Pro Wrestling's Champion Carnival, and Pro Wrestling Noah's Global League. And he did that 8 years ago when he was in his mid-40s. Just a pioneer of Japanese wrestling, like the likes of, you know, Liger and Inoki beforehand. yeah, that's what my fourth for the Mount Rushmore.
I know a big heavy hit earlier, Stephen. You know, you talk about Kenny Omega, obviously, having the chance Triple AEW and then TNA as well. WWE is Finn Balor, dominated NXT. Suzuki appearing in AEW, viral sensation. His match, especially with John Moxley, was so good, so heavy hitting. You know, and I don't know much about his Japan stuff, but the things I have read at this point, the amazing match. And then Nagata as well. Very, very good picks. Grant, I'm going to come to you first. What's your thoughts on Steven's pick?
I'll give it to him. Like, Steven has chosen some absolutely solid picks. A few, one in particular that really stands out to me, Suzuki. That is a fantastic choice, because he is a pioneer. The fact that even in his 50s, he still commands respect and attention. He's not just another, like, old wrestler that's a part-timer. He does it full-time. He is willing to throw down with everyone. And I mean everyone. I mean, the man's had a match with Asuka back in the day, which was absolutely fucking terrifying to watch. I've met him, and despite the fact he's about half a foot shorter than me, I still would never even dare make a joke in front of him, because I'm pretty sure he could snap me like a twig just by looking at me. So yeah, Suzuki, fantastic pick. Nagata, hard to argue. That a lot of people, like, sort of newer and younger New Japan fans will be kind of like, this guy's old. It's like, no, go back and watch his old stuff. Absolute legend. So yeah, solid pick. Balor, yeah, can he really argue? Well, Devitt, can't really argue that. He had a huge influence in their junior division and was kind of one of the people that started to blur the line between the junior and the heavyweight divisions. Perhaps wasn't there long enough to me to class as a Mount Rushmore. And Omega, yeah, really, like, he did. He had, because he had that fantastic sort of founding in the junior division before he moved up to the heavyweight and became the sort of leader Bullet Club. So, yeah, I mean, Steven's given me, like, some good ones to think about there.
I agreed, man. Say, I'll come to you. What's your thoughts on Steven's pick?
Suzuki, yeah, absolutely. I would full frontal agree with that. I do agree with Grant that maybe Finn or, you know, Prince Devitt maybe wasn't there as long as what could be determined to be part of a thing like the Mount Rushmore. I mean, technically, there was no Bullet Club without him. We have no idea if Bullet Club would have ever become a thing had Devitt started it off. So there's definitely that to, like, consider, and consider that Bullet Club's, like, one of the most well-known factions in the entire world. And then see, when you have others like Kenny Omega, there is, without a shadow of a doubt, obviously the first US champion that they had, first non-Japanese person to win the G1, and certainly put on a massive showing, and even bringing more of a Western audience as well, because people were clearly familiar with who this guy was, knowing that he was let go from WWE because they didn't really see any potential in him, and he turned that all around. I would say it's definitely a really, really good set of picks that Steven's brought to us. But out of them, for serious contenders, I would probably say Suzuki.
Fair enough. And Scott, coming to you last, what's your thoughts?
Again, some solid picks. You know, it's hard to do a Mount Rushmore like this because they've got such a lineage of great wrestlers, and they've got some great wrestlers currently on their roster, so it's really hard to argue against certain people. But like I said, with particularly Omega and Balor, even though Balor did kind of found the Bullet Club, I would agree with Sarah and Grant's sentiments that, you know, he barely got a year out of, you know, being the leader, and because he didn't get the chance to properly go up from junior heavyweight, he's the only Bullet Club leader to never hold the IWGP Heavyweight Championship at any point. Seems strange given he's the one who started it all. Omega, yeah, I would give the edge over Balor because, you know, he helped build on what was already came from the likes of Balor and AJ before him as leaders of Bullet Club. And I think a lot of stuff in the last like 5 or 6 years with Western eyes getting on New Japan, he played a big role in that. You know, I said about how Okada was part of some of the most talked about matches, you know, in the recent history of New Japan. More than not, Omega was on the other end of those matches. You know, they had that great series that we've talked about before. He had the match with Chris Jericho, which got a lot of Western eyes when they had the Alpha Omega match with Game 12, a match that Toy Gans even pointed out as maybe without that match, we might not even have an AEW right now. So you got to think how different the wrestling world would be without that. So yeah, I think out of all those, I think Omega stands out the most above all these other picks to potentially be somebody to go in.
Yeah, fair point. Fair points indeed. Well, thanks for bringing that up. So we're going to go to our last panelist, and that's Sarah. Sarah, the floor is yours.
Right, okay. Just to let you know, that there's only one of my picks that I know should be a cemented. It should literally be cemented, covered in gold, and, you know, buffed and polished, so it's all nice and shiny. Out of all the four picks, I know that one of them's definitely going to make it, and if he doesn't, then I'm going to kill yous all, because you disrespect him. But my four picks that I've got, I'll start off with, like, the least to the one that I'm guaranteed that I know is going to make it. So one of the ones that I was putting up in a name for, I think it was just because I was the last person, apart from calling dibs on one person. So I did say Kota Ibushi, mainly just because like there's more to him when it comes to this company than what's going to be happening, plus the fact that he's absolutely fucking crazy. But there's a reason that he is a two-time back-to-back G1 winner. It's just maybe a shame that he's not really had the trigger pulled on him in some bits, but being the inaugural like IWGP World Heavyweight Championship when that was merged with the Intercontinental does say a lot, just given the fact that, you know, he lost it very quickly after. So we're going to move Kota Ibushi to the side. As like, as much as I love him, he's just one that I had an extra pick. My other one that I was going to pick, the only reason that I've said this is just because he brought so much of a Western audience to New Japan, but he was only there for like 2 years, and that was AJ Styles. More since like this was like the sort of partnership when New Japan and TNA sort of came together in 2008, that AJ Styles came through in 2014, that he had signed a contract with the company, sort of coming in on the invasion attack and attacked Okada. And like, literally, if you're going to go from anyone to make a statement in the company, then you're going to go for Okada, considering that he was the champion at that point. And the fact that just AJ managed to bring so many wonderful matches towards the 2 years that he was there, but given like his Wrestle Kingdom matches and everything else, it was a choice I wanted to make. The third pick for me is the current booker of the company, Gedo, mainly primarily because since sort of coming in to New Japan in 2001, he has sort of made it his own, going from, you know, being in a tag team and a member of Chaos to the defection towards Bullet Club, like turning his back on Okada, because, you know, it's always really, really sad when you see the babyface's manager leave him for, you know, this new up-and-coming star that he sees more potential in, and maybe gets a little bit greedy with the fame and fortune of it, but it's definitely argued that since Gedo became the primary booker in 2015, that his booking is just incredibly smart, that sometimes you don't see it coming until you look back and go, oh that makes sense, okay, yeah, no, okay, this has been in the works since this day. I mean, at the current time of recording, it's just after Wrestle Kingdom Night 1. And for the New Japan Ramble, who would have thought that he was going to have in the King of Pro Wrestling? Scott, I know that you've probably already seen it.
I've seen half of the card. I've seen half of it.
Yeah. So, like, who would have thought, going into 2022, for the provisional King of Pro Wrestling match that's going to happen on night two at the time of recording, that you're going to have the obvious picking Yano and Chase Owens, like the sort of up and comer, but then having Seema and Suzuki going into that match, like, I was very, very shocked to see those two be in the original match going for Wrestle Kingdom night one. It was a very, very shocking thing, but only Gedo would have probably thought of this and be able to pull it off. And just, I don't know what it is, but it just makes it seem very flawless. And even in the height of the pandemic, given the fact that, you know, maybe the whole evil turning and, you know, going to the House of Torture, it would maybe have been all well and good in his head. We might just have to blame evil for not executing it properly and not, you know, getting Gedo's vision out there. But I would say, like, it probably would have been a very, very different company had Gedo not become the main booker of New Japan. But the one pick that I am fully endorsing and getting behind, and this is the one that I have got the biggest case on, and the one I called dibs on before I even got the rest of my picks out, was the ace that is Hiroshi Tanahashi. I made sure that I called dibs on this man before anyone else could get their filthy little paws on it, because if you think of New Japan Pro Wrestling, one of the names that does definitely come to your mind is Hiroshi Tanahashi. And let me tell you this, right? The man first signed with the New Japan Pro Wrestling Dojo in 1998, making his debut in 1999. And he has been with the company since his very first debut, and he's carried on through absolutely everything. And he is still one of the biggest stars in the company. He's the man with the beautiful hair. And when you look at his accolades, like, let me run down the accolades. That is for Hiroshi Tanahashi. Right, so we have, and he is the 8-time holder of the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. He is a 2-time IWGP Intercontinental Championship holder, a 1-time United States Heavyweight Championship holder. He is a 3-time tag team champion. He is also a 2-time IWGP U30 Openweight Championship holder. He has held the Never Openweight Championship once. He has held the Openweight 6-Man Tag Team Championships with six other men, but a 3-time holder, including Mr. Ricochet, that is now on Monday Night Raw. He is the 4th ever New Japan Pro Wrestling Triple Crown Champion, but he is the 2nd ever Grand Slam champion. He has won the G1 Climax 3 times. He has won the New Japan Cup on 2 different occasions. He is also the winner of the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship Tournament that was held in 2017, as well as holding the Heavyweight Tag Team MVP Award from 2005 for Shinsuke Nakamura. And then you've got other championships and accolades on top of that, being getting the Young Lion Award in 2001, the New Japan Pro Wrestling MVP in 2018, as well as having the best singles bout in 2004 with Tenzan. So when you look at all these different accolades, and that's even just a fraction of what's listed on Wikipedia, there is more, but I'm not going to go through them all. When you look at that, you sit and look at it in awe. And this is why they call the man the ace. And he's also the fact that he's been able to go through every single match with, and always playing by the rules to be very, very clean. And obviously we've got his match at Wrestle Kingdom Night 2 against Kenta, which is a no DQ match, which is surely going to take him out of his comfort zone. But just going through the fact that this man has basically been with New Japan Wrestling for 23 years, and he is basically the face, and he's got a very pretty face with the pretty, pretty hair, and the fact that, you know, go ace. So yeah, that's I'm not even going to go into detail about it, because, like, all you have to do is look up his accolades. And also the fact, like, it was a record-breaking heavyweight championship holder, I will have you know that. I can't remember exactly how long it was, but I know he held it for a very long time.
Thank you very much, sir. Very interesting. You should clearly put a lot of thought into that one. I like it. I mean, you know, Tanahashi is obviously a very well-known, very well-respected wrestler. Ibushi has been very, very unlucky in booking, as you said recently, recent years, but he's also a top quality wrestler. And for me, you've got the greatest of all time there, AJ Styles. So yeah, as well as very strong line up there. Stephen, I'm going to come to you. What's your favorite?
I mean, if you were doing a Mount Rushmore of wrestling haircuts, you know, Tanahashi would be in it four times. it's a lovely lock of hair he's got. I mean, but I would question the pick purely on Sarah saying that Ricochet is a Raw superstar, he's a SmackDown superstar. Like,
you know, I don't watch WWE. Leave me alone.
I'm just being pedantic. Tanahashi is the obvious, you know, top choice in there. Sarah's accolades, you know, listed, I don't really need to add too much on it. Gedo, I think if you're looking booking wise, the first half of his tenure, people would argue, yeah, he's a great solid contender, similar to the kind of Vince McMahon, you know, mold that we did in that Mount Rushmore Scott mentioned. However, his love for evil in recent years would definitely take me, that's no pun intended, his love for the wrestler evil. It's just a bit too much for me. I think he's kind of would slip him off that a bit more, but yeah, he's historical booking-wise would make him a strong contender. Styles, general wrestling Hall of Fame, I'd say yes, but his tenure in New Japan, I think, is maybe a wee bit too short for consideration here, similar to what the guys argued about for Balor and me, and Sarah talked about Tanahashi that for that long. I can't remember who our fourth pick was.
Ibushi.
Ibushi, I love Ibushi, like you said. Maybe a bit 50-50 booking to go in here, but yeah, he would be on a Mount Mushmore of crazy bastards. 100%. Maybe a bit too far for me going this one, but yeah, Tanahashi's the. Sarah's right by saying Tanahashi's the obvious contender from the four.
No problem. Yes. Put there, Stephen. Mount Mushmore of crazy bastards. I love it. Scott, we'll come to you. What's your thoughts on Sarah's picks?
So Stephen took the words out of my mouth, but don't say Ibushi. Yeah, if we were doing a Mount Rushmore of just mad bastards, yes, that man would be right front and centre.
Well, it was him or Red Shoes, all right? Leave me alone.
But I agree with what Stephen said also about Tanahashi stands out of all of them, you know. That's an impressive list of accolades you learned out there, Sarah. So many, like, things he's done over his career. Like, he was there during the dark days and helped basically bring them out slowly but surely to the resurgence that they had, you know, in later years. I'd even go a step further and argue that Tanahashi is the only person that she's mentioned of those four that deserves to go in.
Oh yeah.
Gedo, like you said, the last few years have not been kind to his style of booking. We don't even see the long term playing out. I mean, he seems, especially during 2020, he seems to kind of rush through some things. Ibushi, I think the fact that he hasn't had the trigger pull, as Sarah said, actually does hold him back a little bit, because seemingly since he had a lot of potential to combine the two belts into the World Heavyweight title, but seemingly the night he got his new belt, a curse was seemingly placed upon him, and he's never been the same since. And AJ Styles, I agree again with what Stephen said, that if it's just a general, like, all time wrestlers, AJ Styles would be right front and centre, but in a one of just wrestlers of New Japan, he's most out of place, I think, because again, full time, he was there for roughly 2 years. His two IWGP title reigns, well, obviously, he's very rare for a Gaijin to get that title, especially in 2014 and 2015 when he got it. They seem to be a stopgap holder in between Tanahashi and Okada, title reigns during their long running feuds. And then he had that match with Nakamura, which, well, arguably one of the greatest New Japan matches of all time, did kind of hurt them as they were on their way out to go to WWE, because they would then a couple of years later try and fail multiple times in 2018 to replicate that success to, well, no avail, as we've discussed before in this podcast.
Yeah, fair point, Scott. Grant, we're going to come to you lastly. What's your thoughts on Sarah's picks?
So I'd say, like Sarah, definitely Tanahashi is a great pick, although I'm going to do you dirty here and point out the fact that Tanahashi got himself disqualified today at the time of recording, because he's a dick.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, because I can't remember if that match went on before, you know.
I've seen it.
All right, okay. Well, then, yes, the only time he's ever done himself dirty was because Kenta's been a dick.
Kenta has been nothing but a lovely, upstanding young gentleman.
He's not the ace. He's a very naughty boy, that Tanahashi.
He's a naughty boy. He used the Kindle stick in the bed.
Now, Sarah, you did miss one golden opportunity, Sarah, because I remember I looked back in the chat to look at your picks, and the fact that you took out Shibata.
I know.
The man who's returned to wrestling made me cry more than once.
I know, I had to go check on Ian Skinner to make sure he was okay as well.
If you went for Shibata, I would have actually brawled physically with everyone else here to have Shibata in it. I would have battled Steven senseless for fun, even if it meant Laura would go after me.
I know, I don't know why I said it.
I don't know.
I'll be honest with you, if you had argued and kept Shibata in, I still would have argued against him, because of the fact he took so long away. And I think if he is back full time, then I
how dare you take some time away from a, you know, life-threatening an injury?
No. He got cut. His career got unfortunately cut short for a while he was just about to be elevated to the main event scene. And now that he's back, I think maybe if he did this in a few years' time, if he's back on a more full-time basis, then I would have argued he should go in. But currently, as we sit here today, I would still argue against Shibata going in. And I don't care if Grant, I'll set my dog on you. That Dexter can be very vicious when he wants to be.
I'm not afraid. Yeah, I mean, Tanahashi, undisputable, really. Like, that's just impossible to argue against that at all. Ibushi, I think, if his booking had been better, yeah. Ibushi, to me, is definitely up there. Like, the fans have always been behind him, but they've had what I always call the Naito problem, where every time they pull the trigger on him, they pull the trigger, and then they go, no, we're not sure, actually. Let's change it again.
I know, it's like, why make him win the G1 2 years in a row to then not do anything at Wrestle Kingdom? And you're like, at least Hiromu won one of, like, you know, won his, but still.
And Gedo, I will actually give you, I think that is actually a good shout, because whereas Steven says the later bit of his tenure, yes, the evil booking was a little bit of a shit show. I'm never going to forgive him for the House of Torture. But I will give it to him.
It was promising. It's just evil hasn't quite delivered.
Promising? What product are you watching?
When he first turned in the New Japan Cup, it was very promising of where this direction could have went. You shut up, Stephen.
I saw was Retribution, and look what happened to that.
No, Stephen, I will give her that one, because it did have the promise. You know, they could have went the way of the Dark Order and found a way to make it work. Instead, they've made it the most awful thing in New Japan. But
exactly.
I will give Gedo that a lot of the other booking he's done in the pandemic, with the limitations that he's had to deal with, he has done pretty good with things. You know, he's done the best that he can with it. You know, I challenge any other booker to find a way to make that things work better, with the fact that you couldn't get new foreign talent, and even getting the ones that you already had in had obstacles as well, because of things like quarantine and that.
You had to rely on three young lions as well, instead of having like a plethora of more.
Exactly. So yeah, I'd say, like, of your choices, Tanahashi definitely. Gedo is I'd commend you for actually arguing that one. It's quite a good one. Ibushi, so AJ, again, the problem is too short a time there. If AJ had been there longer, you can never argue the fact that the 2 years he was there, let's face it, people still talk about it, and that was what, like, 5 years ago what he left.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's my kind of takes on Sarah's picks.
Yeah.
Dan, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, just listening to what you're saying, Sarah, Gedo seems to be your version of Kwaku's vote for Sheamus Daniel Bryan is the best WrestleMania ever. That's what it comes across.
I mean, with all fairness, when I was like thinking of Gedo, I was like, who else could I fuck with him with? Oh, I know. I could have went for Red Shoes, I could have went for Milano, I could have even went for, you know, Gino Gambino.
I'd have backed you to the hills on that one.
Rocky Romero, given the fact that how much he's working with the LA stuff right now, I could have argued for Rocky Romero as well.
Well, on that note, we're going to move on now. You're going to fight to name your four. So I'm going now just leave up to yourselves, but remember, every so often I'm going to stop before going on just to see if there's something to actually contemplate. So the floor is yours. Fight!
All your picks are shite. I'm sorry, I don't know what you're looking for.
I know my picks are shite, but Hiroshi Tanahashi is the obvious one, so get him in as the number one spot.
I mean, you talked about, I know you and Graham made some great arguments for Gedo, but do we want to put in a guy who does, is behind?
Oh, I don't want Gedo, I just want Tanahashi in it.
I'm saying, do we want the guy who's behind the long-term booking, or do I want to put someone in who benefited from the long-term booking? Which is why, again, I will push for Naito as an obvious person to go in.
Scott, Sarah, I promote a truce for one thing and one thing alone.
Not Stephen Wilson's picks.
To piss off Stephen, how about we all agree to go with Okada?
I mean, I would have went with Okada anyway.
Yeah, hard to argue.
I would have said Okada, Naito, Tanahashi, and then Red Shoes.
I mean, we didn't even mention the fact he's got the longest single reign of the IWGP heavyweight title in history, 750-odd days. I mean, I don't think anybody will even come close to touching that reign ever again.
Aye, but he has a shit clothesline, let's be brutally honest.
You've probably got Stephen,
you've got a shit haircut, but we're not bringing that into it, are we?
I know I mentioned the Mount Rushmore of haircuts, but let's not talk about that right now. I do have a shit haircut, that's why I'm currently wearing a hat. That's why I'm doing the David Hockney look right now. If we were going to put one of Grant's picks in, he needs to be Liger. He's got to be Liger over Okada every time, you know. He's the Japanese goat, in my opinion. Reaching for the Liger.
I'll be honest, all three of you have got a pick each that I'm damn interested in. All three of you have got at least one person each, I'm like, I can't really argue against it.
Yeah, I would probably say, for my opinion, right, my hot take. Tanahashi, Naito, Okada, Suzuki. That would have been mine.
Out of those four, you could argue, I think the only person you couldn't really argue maybe shouldn't go in, and I'd never say it to his face, is Suzuki. Maybe because he hasn't won the big one, but then again, how can a heel be so scary and you have music that's so catchy?
Yes.
Well, imagine he's sitting listening to this and he's like, how dare they? How dare they not put me in? And then he comes along and snaps all your necks for saying no, and not mine because I said he could be.
My hot take for my fourth, this is my hot take, would be I'll sacrifice Okada for Liger, Tanahashi, okay. Suzuki, Naito, and that Wilson is a ball bag for honourable mention.
He will not get conversation at all because of how the last couple of years.
I'm going with the argument of I would pick one of Okada and Omega, and I'm going to pick Omega.
That's just because you don't Okada.
No, because I want to get Liger in, and I'll argue against Naito for. I know I said Naito was a great pick earlier on, but I'd argue against him for Nakamura. The only one I'm not arguing about is Sarah Tanahashi. I think she's the safe bet.
That's why I called dibs.
That's the thing with this kind of thing. Like, I do think with the limited spots, we've only got four, so I do think, much like we were kind of arguing the first Mount Rushmore we did, the men's one, about how we had to basically choose between Rock and Austin. I do think we need to sacrifice Okada or Omega. We can't have both, and I think it needs to be one or the other. Much like with my one, like I could easily argue for Naito or Nakamura, but I think only one of those two needs to go in. So I think I said we need to decide, is it Omega or is it Okada?
I would say Omega doesn't have enough accolades in that to make the cut over Okada, and the fact that Omega left.
Yeah, it's hard with your one, right? Because obviously Okada, well, you make such a great argument saying, talk about accolades and everything, but then he's like more recognisable face of like the modern era of New Japan. But then in terms of longevity and people who don't even watch New Japan all know who Jushin Liger is, which is hard to, you know, again, where they've got these limited spots.
I mean, we could argue that cut out Okada, cut out Omega, Liger. Liger is a solid pick, because let's face it, pretty much a 30-year career. Mm-hmm. Started there, retired there, done it all, not just there, but in other promotions as well.
And he's still doing commentary for them as well.
Like I said, he retired, and then 2 months later, the pandemic hit. That's how much of an influence that man had in the world. He was protecting us from something bigger. And the minute he decided to give it up, that's when all the shit hit the fan.
He's got a career so accomplished that he managed to have one match in WWE and still go in their Hall of Fame. That's an accomplishment in itself.
I would definitely agree for Liger.
he's one of our very few people that has a 100% record in WWE.
Hey!
I'm a definite for Liger and Tanahashi so far. That's I feel that we've got a bit of an agreement there.
Yeah.
Liger is 100%.
He's an old right now cross patch Jushin Liger.
Yes.
Yep.
Steven? Doesn't matter what you say, dude. Who said yes?
Thank you.
Democracy.
And pick two would definitely have to be Tanahashi. None of us can argue that.
I mean, he plays air guitar.
So if you try and argue against like Tanahashi, you're pretty much like trying to argue against like Austin or The Rock or what. You just can't
exactly
do it.
Exactly. You can't do it. Which is, that's why I called dibs and let everyone else pick theirs. I was like, as long as I get Tanahashi, I do not care.
So doesn't really matter what Steve says, because Scott and Grant agree, so Tanahashi's in.
I'm all for Tanahashi myself.
Keep on trying that. I mean, I'm going to name some other wrestlers that you haven't mentioned. Like, you've got Shibata, Rocky Romero, Kenta. You've got Will Ospreay.
Fuck Will Ospreay.
Yeah, and Kenta, I would probably say more because he's more associated with Noah. Probably
Kenta's not a New Japan one. He's a an all round Japan Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I'm Mount Rushmore of Japanese wrestlers. You can consider Kenta.
Yeah,
not for New Japan.
New Japan. What about Tenzan? Sanada.
Just in for Sanada.
It's a very sad thing that Sanada's not had enough of a push to get there, and it's a absolute fucking shame. If you want to put him in the TNA Hall of Fame for Japanese wrestlers, absolutely freaking lootly.
I mean, we didn't discuss Yoshihashi. Now that's a freaking thing.
Yoshihashi was my idea. Do not take my man away from me, okay?
Or what's his face? Yoshitatsu.
There's also Red Shoes. I mean, it's not a New Japan show without Red Shoes.
I think because it's too early in his career, what I think a name that I considered throwing into the equation because he has done a lot was Jay White. Jay White would have been a great shape, but I think it's still too early.
It's still too early.
You could have made an argument with Jay White. For a second there, I thought you were saying it's too early in his career. I thought you were talking about Red Shoes still. Like, man's been gone for how long? Have you?
It's too early for Red Shoes. Needs more time. He needs to take more bumps.
Had Rocky Romero and then you pulled him out for Gedo.
Again, Rocky, he's such an advocate for it, but not for his career, but for maybe his contributions absolutely, because he's the one that has been pushing so much for the LA guys and all that sort of stuff. Like, he is the guy that you go to if you're wanting to, like, you know, have a relationship with it. You get Rocky because he is honest to God one of the nicest people, and like I have met him like once and I didn't realise it was him, and he was the nicest freaking guy I've ever met. I couldn't quite get over it, and I love him, which is why, you know, they brought him to AEW to then, you know, use that relationship to introduce the best friends to Chaos, even though Chuck and Trent were already members of Chaos.
I'm gonna throw in there for like the towards pick number three, just to throw it in there. I am going to be angling towards my co-host Scott's pick of Naito, because I feel Naito is possibly a solid pick over Okada and Omega as a modern talent who's also been there for a long time because of what he's done.
Yeah.
Okada's accolades not count for anything.
They do, but Naito's done more, like different various ones, rather than just always being pushed to the main event, which gives him a little bit more.
Yeah, he's like had the more of a journey, I think. Even more so than Omega, because Omega got it before Naito did, and I think Omega's title reign was kind of underwhelming when we actually look back on it. But Naito had this like long journey starting like 2013, and then went all the way to 2020 when he finally held the belt. And then, like, we talk about Nakamura and what he did for winning the IWGP Heavyweight and Eric and Hell Tales separately. Nigel's the first guy to hold them together.
And he's a much more charismatic man. Then okay.
Tranquilo.
I thought you were saying more charismatic than Nakamura, so I was going to say I would argue against you there.
So have you ever seen Okada try and speak in English? It is amazing.
I mean, I don't go out my way to see anything Okada, to be perfectly honest with you.
I sent my pals a video. I don't know if anyone remembers that video that went viral of the Japanese pool player.
You sent me that, actually.
And that is exactly how Okada's English promo came across, which was English, okay. A little, no problem. Okay. Only so.
I mean, you mentioned Okada's title reigns is a fair accolade, but Naito has got a much more wider package of, you know, achievements, I think. Which makes Andy's more of a... Yeah, I didn't really want to talk too much about packages with Sarah around. I don't want to start another conversation.
Mate, I have turned over a new leaf in 2022. How dare you? The actual audacity.
But I like the shouting item. I mean, out of Scott, if you had to pick one of Scott's, it's either him or Nakamura. Mm-hmm. And I think...
It's Naito for me.
I would say Naito over Nakamura. I would say Naito over Nakamura and Okada.
I mean, see, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you're promoting somebody else, you get nobody in, and there's only two spots left.
I still want Kenny Omega in there.
You've been here about an hour. I mean, we've all got all the place to be. Why don't we just put Nakamura and Naito in? That's the final two spots, so we can all go home happy. Especially me.
I'm definitely on board with Naito. I would say for Steven, the only one of your picks that I'm going to go with Steven is going to be Suzuki.
Yeah, that's the only one I would agree with.
I mean, if we're arguing Suzuki, bring something a bit different to the other guys, you know.
He's a dad, without being a New Japan dad.
At the end of the day, we need to think about the fact that, yeah, titles are a big thing, but you also got to think about the impact some wrestlers have had over the years without a title. Look at, without winning the big one, like, look at Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Never won the big one, but do we still talk about him fondly? Do we still love him? Do they always have a huge impact? Yes, yeah. He did.
I think the fact with Suzuki that at the age in his early 50s, he walks in to AWA, walks into TNA, walks into GCWA, walks into all these companies at this age, he walks into Bloodsport, and everybody loves him. You know, there's not many.
Because we want to see carnage, that is why. We want to see blood and guts and death.
But if you look at it, for a guy who's never won the IWGP Championship, he's never won like things like the G1 and that type of stuff. He's kind of like, he's a solid, consistent wrestler. But for the Western audience, sometimes they get attracted to the bigger names. For him to get such a reaction when he goes over just shows his grand says the longevity and the impact he's got in that company, that anything he can do is just great, which is he does add something a bit different to the choices. I would
definitely say yes for Suzuki, but not for any of other Stevens picks. But I would say not right now, like, say because Kenny Omega had a really, really great career, he's still left when there could have been a lot more. Like, there's that, you know, that is like a roadblock that you're like, yeah, he's one of the most well-known people, like, he brought the popularity and like all the great matches, but again, it was how long he was there, and then the fact that, you know, he decided to up and leave and, you know, start his own company. And you're like, oh.
I mean, if you're arguing guys with longevity from Magat, I mean, you obviously, you've all drawn to Suzuki naturally, but Nagata's a great choice as well.
Not as good as Suzuki.
And, like, it's not something against Nagata or anything like that. Also, he has held the IWGP like heavyweight championship, and Suzuki hasn't, so that's one thing he's got over him. But I don't think, more especially internationally, the Nagata's got the same popularity that Suzuki has. And, like, again, like, he gets a reaction when he goes overseas, but I don't think he gets quite the response as people singing along with Suzuki's theme song. And also, to go on Omega again, I think I agree with Sarah, because, like, 2018, we were all invested in Omega finally winning the title, and he did. and then by the following January he leaves. And obviously it's to go on to start AEW, and I think, you know, it's been great for a lot of people having AEW, both wrestlers and fans alike. But then again, like, it felt like we went all this way, this journey to see Omega finally win the big one, and it didn't really live up to what it could have been. And I think that's when the argument comes back, and what Grant said about arguing, you know, is it accolades that are more important, or is it, you know, something else like storylines or stuff like that? And in terms of storylines, again, you need to come back to Naito.
You know what, let's just call it Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi and call it a day.
No.
I mean, you talk about great people, like, no, I'll say no way to Yoshihashi, but Goto, I know, he's just somebody who would just, if we could have five places instead of four, I'd argue for Goto.
I know, I would have argued for Goto too.
it was a few episodes ago in East Meets West, I forgot that he'd actually won the G1 Climax, because it was back in like 2008. This was before they were giving you the title shot at Wrestle Kingdom as the result of winning the tournament. But even then, like, you see how accomplished he is. He's one of the only people to win the New Japan Cup and the World Tag League three times. And I think he's actually one of the most accomplished people to never win the title. Him and Ishii both could hold that claim.
I'm going to throw a random name out there that's perhaps not got as many accolades. They have technically only been there full time for about 5 years, but let's face it, this man's cultural impact has been massive.
Yano?
And he always blames his losses on someone that we all universally hate. You know who I'm talking about, Scott?
I know you're talking about.
Zack Sabre Jr. blaming Boris Johnson for fucking everything. What a man.
And having the best names for his finishers as well.
Exactly. Imagine, like, having a finisher called Barry from EastEnders.
You know, Jessica Biel deal.
Like, I remember me and Grant spent a good 5-10 minutes thinking of other British references that you can name moves after, like setting somebody up for a kick up the ass, going, oh, he's setting up for the Bishop Brennan.
Oh dear.
Like, I mean, there's another idea for a future show for you, like, not a current like Mount Rushmore, but a potential future Mount Rushmore people. Like, who do we see in places being on Mount Rushmores in the future?
I mean, if you're talking about that's
when Jay White goes onto it.
In the pipeline, there's a long pipeline of Mount Rushmores to come. Trust me, a long line.
If you talk about Zack Sabre Jr. Move names, it should be next slide, please.
No, his next fusion move should be called the business meeting. Anything else?
Cheese and wine.
But Alan.
Fish and chips.
We've all given our Mount Rushmore's pick, but for the final one, why don't you give us your Mount Rushmore? You've clearly given a lot of thought. What's your Mount Rushmore of New Japan? We're all clamoring to know.
Personally, okay. If I was to do mine,
good tell.
Mine's would be Okada, Omega, Tanahashi, Nakamura.
Damn, I thought he was going to say Yano.
That was mine, but I would be swaying heavily. The only one that'd probably drop out would have been Nakamura for possibly Naito. But I've seen more of my career. Nakamura, my pick. But that is my pick, boss. You're in the infantry. This is all about you. You saw two places, and you still have to get an angel in here. Like, what about the for booking purposes? Cody Rhodes.
Oh, fuck off.
Get right to fuck.
Can we just put in red shoes, please? Nope. Red shoes in Milano.
Alan, you
Brock Lesnar.
Alan, I have not had my dinner yet, and I'm here talking about this rather than watching the second half of Wrestle Kingdom Night 1. Do not give me this shit here when I'm giving you my time. Do not fuck with me here.
I know, I've been up like since 4 a.m. because I was too excited and I need...
Listen, folks.
Please do not piss in my glass and call it lemonade.
It might make some of you happy. I know for a fact it will certainly make some of you not happy. So, what are we going for third one?
Okada.
Naito!
Naito. Naito.
Okay, I'll do Naito.
Yeah.
Right.
I've got Naito and Nakamura who I want to go in. Like, they're like my children. I can't pick one, but, you know, I will go with the consensus. Everyone else seems to be agreeing with me, and I'll go Naito for the third one.
Okay, Naito then. So, as it stands, we've got Jushin Liger from Grant, we have Tanahashi from Sarah, and title from Scott Steven, you've got Hee Haw, son. So,
yes.
Okada!
Are you going to get somebody on?
Sarah, Scott think this is a one time we can absolutely screw Wilson and he can't do fuck all about it like he did in the draft.
I mean, love it. See, when you're picking between like the ones that, like the two ones that I want to go in is Okada and Suzuki, just mainly like the fact that, you know, Okada has really done a lot for New Japan and he's still got lots to come, and like I said, he will be the new ace when Hiroshi Tanahashi retires. He will without a doubt be the new ace. And Suzuki, I mean, he's had such a long career and he's very well known, but does that outweigh, does it?
I mean, like, look at what Okada's done, everything. Like, in Tanahashi, while he was still ace, he still went after the tag belts. He had, like, some reigns as IC champion, and also most recently he was the US champion. But, like, on the other end of it, Okada, at the minute, you know, I can't see him doing anything else other than being world champion. So even when he becomes ace, if he tries to go down to the US title scene or any other title scenes, it's going to unfortunately seem like a demotion as by comparison. So yeah. I don't think he can seamlessly transition to other title scenes outside the main event, much like Tanahashi can.
I think a big issue that goes against Okada there for that as well is that he's so much younger. He's still only 34.
He's a baby.
So it's hard to picture him dropping down to like the mid-card until like what, he's in his late 30s. So you're probably talking at least another 3, 4, 5 years before you could see him being like, well, you could argue that he's a bit older now, so he maybe has to slow down. That's what's kind of caused him to drop down a division or what. But there is that issue. Has he been overbooked that goes against him?
Mm. Well, I think if you're someone like Stephen Wilson, then clearly the answer is yes, given everything he's saying on this show.
But then you point out the fact that it makes me want to disregard all logic just to screw Wilson.
I mean, guys,
put this out there, like, Stephen, tell us why you don't believe Okada deserves to go on.
That's pretty good.
You shoved it your throat like that else, as Grant said. See if he was in a bumming Vince McMahon ring, you get bloody booed to fuck.
Stephen, I will come to your house and I will smash your Millennium Falcon before it's finished being built.
Do not touch the Millennium Falcon. Do anything else, do not touch that.
Double logic.
Take me to my
WWE, you get booed.
Aye, because he gets kind of if you get the same booking in WWE, people would shit all over it. It's my potentially bad take that I'm willing to die in a hell for.
Are you essentially saying that Okada has been like their equivalent of Roman Reigns?
Oh no.
In a way, can be, aye. I mean,
and John Cena.
Because a lot of people love it, like obviously Reigns went heel and everyone loved him. When Okada went through that crazy spell where he lost the belt and he became the balloon rainmaker, people fucking loved that.
That is true. He went metal. It was great.
Yeah, and then he went
back. I want to see that again.
I mean, the ultimate Okada heel turn is when he wore, like, covered his legs. You know, that was everybody hated that. I mean, yeah. I think the point Scott made about Suzuki is quite spot on. I think Suzuki's more of a better transitional way, but I just kind of feel kind of when Okada's stuck somewhere that's not in a world title match, it gets a bit lost now. Well, as Suzuki, you can put him in a 5-minute brawl with Marco's stunt and it'd be amazing.
Oh my god, I want to see
now,
that.
Don't remind us, right? He already killed he killed Alan Angels on being the Elite, never mind.
Could you imagine what he would do to like Marco Stunt? Marco Stunt would have to retire.
Don't give me hope for that. I mean, we already had the pandemic steal buddy Orange Cassidy versus Suzuki, what might happen. I think it was a GCW show. So don't start throwing these matches at me.
How about Minoru Suzuki vs the budget Orange Cassidy? We put him in the ring with Wilson.
Clementine.
The whole time, Steven's like, I voted for you for the Mount Rushmore. Why are you killing me? Because it doesn't like you.
I thought you were talking about Kyle O'Reilly when he came out after TakeOver in March wearing the denim jacket.
This is the point, man. Sheamus.
I'm going to push for it over. Omega was the one in my four I was most confident with, but if I'll push more for Suzuki purely because of his, you know, wider. You know, he's not as one, he's more dimensional, I think. And his theme music's a banger.
Now, See, our issue as a resident here is that if we let Suzuki or Omega in, that means one person from everybody's team has went in. And that's not fun because there needs to be a clear winner on these Mentors more so, which is why I'm going to go back to the well with Nakamura here, because I prefer to let him in. We talked about factions earlier on. Let's talk about Chaos, the faction that Okada is a prominent member of. There would be no Chaos if it wasn't for Shinsuke Nakamura, him and Yano and a bunch of others turning on Togi Makabe and Great Bash Heel and basically taking all their guys and leaving Makabe saddled with Honma even to this day.
it's Honma.
Is what started originally a heel group and then became the biggest babyface group with Okada and Nakamura seemingly on even play, but even though Nakamura was seemingly more of a leader, even though he was always carrying the secondary belt and Okada was the world champion, but Nakamura had that respect over Okada. He's faced, he had a great match against Okada, he had great matches over the years with Tanahashi, who's already, and now they two were chosen as two of the three new Musketeers in 2005, and they went on to be figureheads during the dark ages of New Japan in the mid-2000s up until the resurgence in late 2010s. And yeah, maybe Nakamura would have done more than the world title scene if he'd stuck around, but I think just again the fact that everybody's clamoring and wanting and upset that the IC title is no longer around in New Japan, and a big part for that and why they want to see it come back is because they remember the good times, they remember the days of Shinsuke Nakamura. And just listen back to the Wrestle Kingdom Best Matches show. I wasn't on it, but I listened to it, I edited it, and at least two matches on that show involved Nakamura and that IC title. Need I say more?
If you're going with that logic of, if you're thinking about Okada and Nakamura did that stable, you could go with similar, but if it wasn't for Inoki, we wouldn't have had a lot of the things we had in New Japan, and we wouldn't have had Nakamura founding Chaos, so don't pull that card.
Aye, but Inoki's a bit dodgy, that's why we're not talking about him.
Can we just say bad luck, Fally, and go home?
If we're going with all these sort of like factions and that, come on, Suzuki-gun. Suzuki-gun's fucking incredible. Ichiban!
Ichiban!
I mean, Sam, you've been awfully quiet at your picks. You're not putting any upset other picks forward here.
I'm sorry, but are we really.
She degraded her picks when she was naming them. She goes, exactly. I didn't really want him. I didn't want him.
I mean, the only one I ever would have pushed for was Gedo, but in terms of, you know. Can we just honestly say Red Shoes and go home?
There, stop trying to make Red Shoes happen. It's not happening.
Red Shoes will happen.
Maybe in 10 years.
It took you green. It needs another 10-20 years.
Milan. Right. Paradise Lock. Let's just say the Paradise Lock. Yeah.
There, like you're just saying words now. You are too excited.
Well, my vote is going to be for Suzuki, okay?
Oh, right. So the four it seems to be between is Nakamura, Omega, and Suzuki. And that's the last.
I'm going with Suzuki now as well.
Oh, Suzuki's at two. Scott, what are you going to do?
I mean, I don't think it matters why I say I have a feeling Grant might go with the majority, but fuck it, I'm going to just go out on my sword and just go with Nakamura again.
Grant, pressure. Are you going to conform with the group? Or are you going to stand by?
As much as it's
fun to fuck over Stephen Wilson, you can't deny Suzuki. Just because your hatred towards Stephen Wilson.
I say this while I look at the signed picture I have of him above my bed, and I go with the King, Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah, Suzuki. There we go. We fought. We conquered. We done.
So just to make sure, Okada and Omega do not get in this Mount Rushmore.
Not today.
Not on my watch.
Well, I think this is going to be a highly controversial topic when it's released. This is going to be interesting.
Well, tell everybody who thinks it's controversial and is going to complain about it, please direct all your comments to @CatDave91 on Twitter, and he will make sure that we all get them back, and we will reply to you in 6 to 8 working days.
And we will consider addressing them. We will also consider addressing them on East Meets West, where we will just point out other people are wrong, we are right.
And so-and-so says this, he's wrong. Next one, he's wrong, you're wrong. Everybody's wrong.
It's like everybody's evil, but everybody's wrong.
It's like Homer. Everybody's done except for me.
I can't wait to hear David Campbell's complaints about this show.
I know.
Right.
He's gonna yell, "Where was evil?"
It's gonna happen. Can tell it already.
Where's evil?
Oh fuck! Right, okay. Ellen, I think we do good. So can I think you should keep us under control.
Yeah.
Oh, and
I tried. I had to double check that wasn't you because I kept shouting stuff and you just keep going and going.
Yeah.
You told us
hint,
to fight.
The hint.
Yes, and do you know what? This has been the biggest fight of all the Mount Rushmore, and I love that. It's been.
But at the end of the day, clearly we're all winners here.
I didn't come here for a participation medal.
Well, like, you should have fought harder for one of your other picks to go in. I should have
picked Shibata.
Well, Sarah, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
See, from now on, Scott, me and you were just going to go for Gino Gambino as all of our answers.
Doki Choki, Doki Choki.
Where was this unity about 10 minutes ago?
We didn't think of it.
Alan, you've lost control of the classroom.
Oh, again, I know. Well, at this moment in time, I am actually waiting for David Campbell's Mount Rushmore.
We don't care what David Campbell's from Mount Rushmore is.
To quote Alan's favourite wrestler, it doesn't matter what his Mount Rushmore is.
So to wrap up, we have Justin Liger.
Liger.
Long day. We've got Liger, we've got Tanahashi, we've got Naito and Suzuki. No take backs, that's it locked in.
Go back.
It's locked in. And I've just received David Campbell's. Well, he is going to have a field day with this show.
Oh, she said evil, and
Think
evil.
Go.
Should I spoil it and tell you
all? Why not?
Okay. He has Minoru Suzuki, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kenny Omega, and Okada.
Oh, no, absolutely fucking not, Campbell. You know nothing.
I'll give him one, possibly two out of the four there.
Yeah, the fact he's got Tanahashi on there.
He picked two of mine, so he's a good guy, is Mr. Campbell.
And you paid him off.
I just want to say, I kind of wish David Campbell was here, because then I mean, that means if Nakamura would have a better chance of going in, which means I would be the clear winner here, and screw you all.
And on that joyful note there, I think it's time to end the show. I'd like to thank for the ignorance and their debating skills. First of all, Scott, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure being on, and guess what, Wilson? I'm going to get one last fuck you in there. Get it into you, Ginger.
You've enjoyed this one, haven't you?
Thriving on it.
Cedar Grieve. Thank you very much.
I'm just happy I was able to do Hiroshi Tanahashi proud.
I'm really glad you said proud at the end of that sentence.
Fuck off!
There, wash out your mouth with soap. The children listen to this show.
I've been good the past two shows. You shut up.
You were joking about 69s with me and Grant on the last show. Out of context, that sounds weirder than I meant it to be.
I'm sorry. She was joking about 69s with you and Grant. What fucking show is this?
No, if you listened to East Meets West about our Wrestle Kingdom preview, you would have known what I was talking about. You could have
listened. East Meets West doesn't get a lot of listening. I mean, if you're a child, you shouldn't listen to it. This is that's our 18 plus.
Definitely not.
Our 18 plus show is our After Dark show.
Man, the mega coaches.
And finally, I'd like to thank the US member of Club 30, Gingy Prick Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Alan and McRobbie. Up yours. I'm going to go do my Millennium Falcon Lego later.
I'm going to break it soon.
Are you fuck?
I know where you live.
Stephen, I'll just leave you this. Congratulations on turning 30.
Life is passing you by.
I know a good coffin, coffin guy, so...
I'm putting Wilson in the bin. He's not getting a coffin.
Okay. Thanks, Alan.
Of New Japan for sports and, you know, innuendos and, well, dirty talk. Please listen to East Meets West, you know, on our back catalogue. You know where we are. Come listen to us. I've lost control. I've given up. These people have probed me. Happy New Year, everyone, and have a lovely evening. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Scott McLeod.
And I'm Grant McGrobby.
We are the host of the monthly show on East Meets Suplex Retreat, East Meets West,
where we'll bring you all the latest happenings, reviews and big events from New Japan and the land of the Far East.
You can remember to check that out on the Eat Sleep Suplex Retreat podcast feed on all good Android podcasting sites like Anchor, Spotify or iTunes now.
Sports Social Podcast Network. I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.